This hearing this afternoon with the Department of Energy, the budget hearing with the Energy and Commerce Committee, hear from reading some of the copy from the opening statements that Republicans and Democrats have two different philosophies and are going to continue to have these philosophies that intersect here, where Democrats continue to stress renewable energy as a solution to our problems. And Republicans say we need to solve this domestically by having more domestic production. Where do you see this going right now?
Well, I think that's a little bit of an oversimplification of where the differences we have. I think, you know, Republicans have an all of the above energy approach in the short run and the long run. And we're not against renewable energy at all. What we're saying is, in the short run, particularly right now, and probably for the foreseeable future, that to completely discount fossil fuels like natural gas that we produce here in our own country, by the way, about 40% cleaner than everybody else in the world, is a failed economic policy. And that to lean on just renewables with the timeline that the Democrats are proposing is not both economically feasible or practical. And so, you know, Republicans support renewable energy. We support nuclear energy and, of course, fossil fuel energy. And, you know, you're seeing that right now in the gas prices in this country. It's a combination of the pandemic, but also energy policy from the administration, banning pipelines, not allowing people to use the permits that they have to create domestic sources of fuel. So, you know, I mean, I think if you look at the timeline the Democrats propose, is just not doable, first of all. And it's going to lead to an unreliable energy grid and high prices for the people that I represent. So I want a more practical, pragmatic approach to decrease emissions over time, but also not have the ratepayers paying so much for energy that may be unreliable, that it's not a sustainable thing.
What were some of the answers you got today or that the committee got from the Department of Energy and their representatives?
I mean, the overall riding theme is, you know, they want to invest in renewables more than they do the fossil fuel industry. But so their priorities are a little bit, I think, different than what you would see on the Republican side if it was, you know, during the Trump administration, for example. But the reality is, you know, they also invest some in the fossil fuel industry. If you look at their budget, there's some things in there for LNG, for example, liquefied natural gas and other things. So it's not completely devoid of practical budgetary things. But I think the overriding theme is, you know, a very quick transition to renewables, I think, and I think most Republicans think, on too fast of a timeline that's going to hurt reliability of the energy grid, of the electrical grid, and also cause high prices. So, you know, there's just a priorities difference between what this president's budget would be and what President Trump's budget was, for example.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg was in Indiana a couple of weeks ago, and as he's done all over the country, is talking electric charging stations, but
yes,
not only in urban areas, but in rural areas as well. And I think just from the standpoint of being a consumer, I've got two cars that I've already invested in. One of them is a hybrid, but I don't have the financial ability to go out and get a Tesla or get an electric car. I think a lot of people are in that same boat. What would you say to and I don't know if this exactly is in the realm of the Department of Energy, but it seems like, you know, this was at least somewhat in their thoughts today.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about investing, maybe some would call it disproportionately, in electric charging stations?
Well, I mean, at the end of my questioning, I asked Secretary Granholm if the federal government owns any gasoline stations in the United States. And of course, the answer to that question is no. And so if that's the case, why should the federal government own the charging stations? You know, I believe that the market will decide that. The private sector ultimately will decide that. You know, of course, you know, when we develop the gasoline automobile early on, the federal government's involved somewhat in helping get the gasoline stations and the distribution off the ground, but it's driven by the private sector. So, you know, I think it's really short-sighted right now to invest billions of dollars at the federal level creating charging stations when only roughly 3 or 4% of the American people have an electric car, and most of the American people can't afford them right now. And they're, and you know, can people afford to put in a charging station at their house that will charge their car overnight? You know, you can't just plug these things into you know, a 110 outlet in your house. And even if you, and you, even if you have the adapters to make that happen, it could take you a long time to charge your car. So, yeah, I mean, look, I'm in favor of electric vehicles. Absolutely. I'm in favor of hybrids. But, you know, we have to take a practical, pragmatic approach here. We just don't have the infrastructure in place. It's too costly for the vast majority of the American people. So we need to move forward at a pace that the market will bear. And right now, this administration thinks that we can push this along with massive federal subsidies, which are not free to the American people, but cost the taxpayers billions of dollars. And it may only impact a small number of people that can financially afford an electric vehicle in the short run.
We've got a summer of possibly heavy travel coming up, and that is also a summer where gas prices are extremely high. And then after that, we've got another winter season coming, and people already this past season paid record high prices for their energy. Do you see the Department of Energy helping to come up with a solution before some of these things come to pass for the summer and this coming fall and winter?
Well, I would hope so. I mean, I may maintain optimism. I mean, they need to take the shackles off of the energy industry. You know, they'll say, well, there's 9,000 leases out there that the industry is not utilizing. But when you talk to the industry, they say, well, an initial lease is only one part of the equation. You know, when you use other agencies to hamper the ability of them to properly drill for natural gas or for oil, you know, and you know, if you look at the production, you know, the administration will say, well, they're producing as much oil now as they were last year. Well, that was a pandemic year. If you compare it to pre-pandemic, they're down roughly 1.5 million barrels a day, roughly. So, you know, I hope so. I think that if they take a pragmatic approach and allow the American energy industry to do the things they need to do, it could help. They also need to, you know, approve pipelines and other things that might not help us this summer or this winter, but in the future summers and winters, it would, so that we can use North American energy, you know, from Canada, and that's the Keystone pipeline, but also, you know, other natural gas pipelines across the country could be authorized that would help the Northeast with their energy needs, for example. So I'm hopeful, but I don't see them pivoting because I think it's more of a philosophical view of the future of energy in the U.S. I mean, if you ask them, they'll say the way to be energy independent is not to be dependent on oil and natural gas and be dependent on renewables. Well, that may very well work, you know, in the distant future, but in the short run, we need more domestic energy production. We need, honestly, more refining capacity. We haven't built a new refinery in decades. And if we do those things in the short run, I think we'll get prices down. I just don't see it happening, honestly, this summer or into the winter. But I'm hopeful that will happen. But well, you know, that remains to be seen.
I want to ask about the economy some, because today we got the news that this economy actually, there was some shrinkage.
Yes.
In the past quarter. Do you really see this as the greatest economic recovery that's happening right now? And do you feel that we may be headed toward a recession?
You know, on a recession, I think, you know, some people are saying yes, some people are saying no. I mean, it doesn't surprise me the economy slowing, because with high fuel prices, that impacts everything. You know, with high grocery prices, that impacts everything. When you have families making decisions about energy, particularly when they have to, you know, commute to and fro work, and when they're using their heat or their air conditioning and the electrical prices are high and they're making those decisions. And, you know, that cuts down on their ability to have cash to spend out in the economy. So the economy is going to slow. The consumer is going to have to retract what they spend on just to afford their energy costs. So it doesn't surprise me. I mean, whether or not we have a recession, I don't know. That's a complicated equation, and that's not my area of expertise. But I do know some people are predicting that. But I'm optimistic that won't occur. But that remains to be seen, honestly.
We've obviously got some pains to go through before this gets better.
I think so. And, you know, in fairness, you know, the pandemic worldwide is still having an effect. You see in China, they're still locking down in a lot of their cities. And what does that do? That shuts down manufacturing in China, which affects the international supply chain, which will make it difficult for us to get out of the situation that we're in, since we're so dependent on the supply chain from overseas. So, you know, I think it's going to take us a while to get out of this situation that we're in. And we do need countries like China, you know, to move past the pandemic. And I think, you know, in the United States, we're very close to being completely past the pandemic. You know, hospitalizations are way down, deaths are way down. And most people that test positive are having no symptoms or mild symptoms from COVID. That's because we have a higher level of vaccination. And we've had a lot of people who have had the disease. And so they have a natural immunity. And I think that'll improve. But I do think it's going to take us a couple of years to completely get out of this situation that we're in.